Father, we thank you that we could gather in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for that great weapon that you have given us, and Lord, we thank you that for the next hour or so, at least, we will not be surrendering it through unused to the other side, but it will be used for your glory here this morning. And so lead us and guide us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be looking at Colossians 1 prayer, one of the great prayers in the Bible, and let's begin by singing a couple of stanzas of Rock of Ages. And
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And verse 3. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Well, turn to Colossians 1, if you would. We were in a very short prayer last week. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. And now today we have the truly great prayer in Colossians, in my opinion, one of the great prayers in the Bible. So from time to time, I think it'd really be good in your prayer time just to focus on one of these great prayers. And not that it's better than what the Lord would give you necessarily, but these are really awesome prayers. And this one has five petitions in it. And one of the outstanding things to me about this prayer is to recognize that Paul is praying for believers he has never met, praying constantly for believers he's never met. And it raises the question, I think, is how much are we praying for believers? I think all of us have some tendency, hopefully anyway, to pray for the lost. I think that's very important. But who's going to reach the lost? It's the believers, is it not? And so we need to pray for the believers. And you'll notice in this prayer, he's not typically praying for a lot of things we pray for. You know, we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Well, the Holy Spirit already has filled us. We pray for a walking in faith. Well, if we're a believer, we already have the faith, or we wouldn't be a believer anyway. A lot of the things we pray for, we already have. But Paul is praying for things here to not to receive things we don't have necessarily, but to enhance them and really take fuller measure of them and fuller ownership for them. And so he gives the reason in verse 9 why he's praying for us. He says, for this reason. Well, what is this reason? Well, this reason, we have to go back to verse 4. Because verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as has also in the world, and bringing forth fruit, as it also is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, you have to keep in mind, at this point in time, Gnosticism had a pretty good root in the church. The Gnostics, of course, were those, what we would call today, the higher intelligent ones. Maybe the ones who have two or three PhDs after their names, or maybe just one PhD after their name. And they kind of are in this atmosphere, well, I know the deeper things of God, which are really probably above your grasp. That's not true. The Word of God is given to all believers for them to partake and to understand. It's not withheld from any, and it is the wisdom of God through his word is not the wisdom of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Wisdom of the world does not lead to righteousness. In fact, it leads generally to unrighteousness because you replace the wisdom of God with the wisdom of man. So here, this is the backdrop. So now here's the prayer with that backdrop. And he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, of your love for the saints and your faith in Christ and so forth, and that you received from the word which you heard. Then he says, we do not cease to pray for you. Now that's amazing. Mm-hmm. People he's never met, but he's not ceasing to pray for them. I don't know that I could say that about anybody, particularly about people I don't know. I mean, I don't even pray without ceasing for people I know, let alone the ones I don't know. But Paul is quite a man of prayer, so he's saying, do not cease to pray for you and to ask or to request. What does he ask? Well, he's five things here. First, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, that's a great prayer, isn't it? Is that a great prayer? So if you wonder what to pray for me, pray for that. That I would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Not knowledge. Not just a bunch of facts and, you know, almanac kind of things. What was the lowest temperature on record and all that. I mean, it's okay, I guess, if you want that. But no, the knowledge of his will. And then what? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, it's not the world understanding here. It's spiritual understanding. And then the secondly, what? That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, isn't that a great prayer? Wouldn't we all want to walk worthy of the Lord? Are we? Oh, yes, but not really, you know. So we need prayer in that, I would think, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. Now, what are the criteria here? Well, fully pleasing him. You know, Jesus, as he said, he could always say that he did the will of our Father, of his Father, of our Father, too, for that matter. But I can't say I always do the will of the Father, but I would pray that I would be fully pleasing to him because I love him, right? Not pleasing to him out of a legal relationship, but out of a loving relationship. And then the second clause here is what? Being fruitful in every good work. Isn't that what he's called us to do, to bear fruit, lasting, abundant fruit? And so how fruitful are you? How fruitful are you in your efforts? You know, now, Martha did some good things. I'm sure she cooked a good meal. I'm sure she served it well. But she's rushing all around, and although she was fruitful, we see Jesus saying to Mary, what? You've chosen the better way. So what is the results of your work? Is it really fruitfulness? Is it really fruitfulness in the Spirit? Or is it, getting on the other side of legalism? Well, I got to work harder, and I want to work hard. I want to be the hardest worker in my church. You know, I want to be in more committees, more this and more that and more everything else, and by this people will know that I'm really pleasing the Lord. No, I don't think so. I don't think the Lord wants you to do more things to convince anybody. I think he wants you to be exhibiting your love to him in everything you do, and he's looking at the motive of your works more than the quantity of them, I would think. And being fruitful in every good work and what? Increasing, again, in the knowledge of God. Not in the knowledge of man, in the knowledge of God. We see these curves at times where we see the knowledge of the world going up like this, right? But if you want to look at the knowledge of God, it's probably going down, isn't it? I noticed this week just a tragic story of this one woman who came out strongly why she will not raise her children in the knowledge of God or something like that. And she gave all her reasons that God is not fair, God is not good, God wants to punish us. I mean, it's like, hey, you got every single reason in there backward, right?
Right.
And then I saw yesterday there was a comment, of course this is all secular stuff, right? Totally secular stuff, saying how her stand or whatever was struck a chord among so many parents.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
I mean, but that's where we are, right? Isn't that the world we're in? We don't want to increase in the knowledge of man. We want to increase in the knowledge of God. And then he says what? Strengthened with all might. We all want power, don't we? You know, we don't want to be like a dead battery or, you know, a battery that the light just barely flickers, right? We want power. Well, how? Power with all might. Whose might? His might. According to what? His glorious power. Now, if we're really relying on the Spirit, I don't believe the Spirit will say about 1 o'clock, Oh, I'm getting tired. I need a Red Bull or whatever that energy drink is. Because I'm just getting tired. I've run out of power today. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow. Is any of you ever sense that? I don't think so. But we're to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For what? All patience and long-suffering. You need power to be patient. Do you know that? Apparently. I need a lot of power to be patient. I think you need more power. You exhibit more power and patience than you do in lack of patience. And long-suffering. That really are attributes of our Father and of our Lord, isn't it? Patience and long-suffering and with joy. How's your joy? You've been telling your face lately that you're filled with joy? Do people walk up to you and say, man, you're really filled with joy? Again, you're not trying to impress anybody, but a sad face that witnesses is not a very attractive face, is it? So we want joy, not just joy in our face, but we want joy including our face. Well, giving thanks to the Father. Thanking him. What has he done? Well, he's done a bunch of things here. One, he's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Through what? Through what he's done on the cross, right? Isn't that the way we're qualified? And then what? He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered us from the power of darkness. Is that great or what? Can you even fathom what that means? Being delivered from the power of darkness and with eternity in outer darkness, that's what we're delivered from, isn't it? What every believer is delivered from, and what translated us or conveyed us, what, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what he's done for us. So are we thankful for that? Or we just say, oh, the world's getting worse and worse. Oh, this is so tough to live here these days. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, what? In whom we have redemption. Wow. Redeemed by the blood, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, and we have the forgiveness of sin. And then it goes on, of course, to this great statement of his preeminence. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that's everything, isn't it? All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So anybody discouraged, or do we have to go over this again? Father, we thank you for this great prayer, and we just thank you for what you have done for us, and we can even make joke of it in a way, but it is not to be joked about. We just want to be thankful to you, Lord. We do pray this prayer for believers, and we want to pray it for ourselves as well, Lord, that we indeed would be fully pleasing to you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in your knowledge, Lord. And here we have these moments to pray, and may we just be led by your Spirit this morning and filled with joy. And Lord, I know that there are those here this morning who have reason not to be joyful because of circumstances and all, Lord, but may we turn those circumstances over to you. And let you handle them, because we can't handle them anyway. And may we sense what's far more important than these worldly circumstances, and that are the eternal things that you have done for us. That you have conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of your love. That you have given us redemption. That you have forgiven our sins. And Lord, you have given us everything. And so, Lord, may we be grateful, may we be thankful. And may we pray for those who don't have that yet, Lord. May we pray for your church, the body of Christ, which is the gathering of your people. Pray for that to be effective and to be powerful. And Lord, we know it'll have only a little strength, but yet we want a little strength, Lord. And so we pray for that. We want to pray for our pastors. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for outreaches and so forth coming up. And whatever you put on our heart, Lord, here we are. Now guide us and lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name.